The Father's House Christian Healing Centre podcast.
I decided I'd have my ancestry DNA done. And all of you have probably been worried or a little bit. Have you had yours done, Stephen? Your ancestry DNA? Well, suffice to say, I'm not Australian. I'm Australian by choice. In fact, I'm mostly Irish and English. Yeah, so my areas of influence are North Munster, East Limerick, East Clare, North Kerry, North Cork, and Southern England. But I also have 6% Scandinavian, that's the Viking, West Europe, which could be anywhere, East Europe, which could be anywhere, Finland, there's another bit of Viking, and the Iberian Peninsula, which I think is Spain and Portugal, isn't it? The Iberian, so, but I am overwhelmingly Irish and English. Now, do you think that's got anything to do with the fact that my father's parents were both migrants from Ireland? Do you think that had anything to do with the fact that they were both Irish born? And my mother was born in England and her parents were born in England too. So that probably I wasted me money paying Ancestry to do that. But I want to talk about the power of the blood of Jesus, because I believe what has happened is the church has managed to ignore the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I became a Christian, I was taught by those who led me to Christ to plead, or plead meaning to identify my prayers with the power of the blood of Jesus to answer those prayers. And I prayed prayers of pleading the blood of Jesus over my children all their life. And I've often wondered, you see, Jesus Christ just didn't go to sleep. He just didn't die in his sleep. He died a horrible, awful death. And the death was so humongous because the enemy wants you to major on your sins and how they separate you from God. He wants to magnify your failings so that you fail to see the power of the blood of Jesus to conquer sin in your life. Not that you would just be pushing sin away, but you would have sin conquered. As Paul says in Romans, sin shall no longer be your master. But you would in fact have sin serve you rather than you serve it. And the most powerful substance that we could touch on earth would be the blood of Jesus. No subject is more relevant, more timely, no topic more critical than the story of the power of the blood of Jesus. I often meet Christian people who are full of scrupulosity. They're worried about this sin and that sin and this sin and that sin and this sin and that sin. And they're so sin conscious that they can't pray in power for anybody because they believe they're so unworthy. Say with me, the blood of Jesus makes me worthy. See, that's your ticket to worthiness, not your behaviour. Thank God we're not judged on our behaviour. Thank God we're not judged on the things that we've done or haven't done. But we are justified by the blood of Jesus, and justified means just as if we never sinned. There's a declaration over us by the power of that. I believe all people who struggle with guilt and shame should get the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson and watch it half a dozen times and watch the scourging screen in slow motion and then say your sins are bigger than that. Say my sin's bigger than that. That ugly talk I did, that sexual thought I had, that activity I did, the blood of Jesus is not enough. And what happens is, when you start to talk about these things, we have an inbuilt familiarity that we have understanding of them. And so we turn off. It's the same as if I were to talk tonight about forgiveness, which to me is the biggest single Christian topic you could talk about. Because it's so illusionary. We say we forgive people, we even put in Jesus' name on the end of it, but nothing's happened in the heart, nothing. And we walk around with a lot of bitterness and resentment. While ever we have a small view of the blood of Jesus, then we have a very big view of our sins. See, it's a greater story than Aesop's fables or greater story than Aristotle, Athenian Constitution, the works of William Shakespeare. This is the story. Because the Bible tells us that life is in the blood. And when there's no blood, there's no life. And the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, every drop, so that we would be redeemed and the full price for our sins paid. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. He didn't say, look, I've partially finished it. He didn't say, look, you better spend a few years in purgatory to make up for what my blood couldn't do. He didn't say that. He said, it's finished. All through history, we have seen the sacrifice of human beings, the Aztecs, the Incas, you can go on and on and on, where people were slaughtered and their blood shed because the enemy understood the power of the shed blood as a weapon to hold up the people. And that's why the Romans used crucifixion. That's why a Roman citizen couldn't be crucified. It was too terrible a death. That's why people wanted to become Roman citizens because the way they killed them was terrible, slow and terrible. That's why it always has been a point of my own personal meditation. Jesus in his life had seen plenty of crucified people. Because on every high holiday in Jerusalem, and on every high holiday Jesus went to Jerusalem with his family, they would line the streets of crucified people, which would say to the Jewish race, keep yourself in line. And the people, like when you see a movie like The King of Kings, remember John Wayne's part? In the King of Kings, surely he was the Son of God. He said it in that. Yeah. But what happened was that crucifixion, until the Mel Gibson movie, was pretty sanitized. But it wasn't sanitized. And in fact, when you were crucified, they let you die for days. So they would hang you up on a cross. The crosses weren't high in the sky. You would have been about, 3 or 4 foot off the ground maybe. And your relatives could come and see you and they would even be permitted to feed you. You wouldn't have been too hungry, I wouldn't have thought. But you were there and they never ever found crucified people because they used to leave them there until the dogs and the buzzards ate their corpses off the cross. What a way to say goodbye to your loved ones. And so it's there as a message. And throughout history, people have used forms of execution that involved shedding your blood to say to you, keep in line, to terrorize. And then Jesus came. First of all, we're created. Adam and Eve are created, they're naked. They're running around. They didn't even know they were naked. It certainly wasn't worrying them. But the minute blood was shed, they became aware of their nakedness. And something primordial was opened up in them. And God led them to kill animals in order to cover themselves with animal skins and show them that sin was a life or death matter. Sin was never just something inconsequential. The idea behind human sacrifice was always the surrender of life. Blood had to be drained. I was studying the word this week, and many of you probably noticed already, but I was looking at the life of Solomon because he was called the wisest man that ever lived, but he wasn't too wise at the end. Because the way in which children began to be sacrificed was through the idol Shamash, which had a hole in its stomach and a fire there, and you would put your little babies on its arms and they'd roll into the fire. A forerunner of abortion, but built by Solomon to please one of his foreign wives. You see, to control the bloodline, to control what was going on. God hates sin. Isaiah 43:14, the Lord says, you have wearied me with your iniquities. In Zechariah 8:14, the prophet prophesied and said, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbour, and love no false oath, for these things I hate, says the Lord. God created us to be holy, because he's holy. And he created us in his image and likeness that we would be like him. But we allowed sin into the world by our disobedience. Isaiah 59 says, declares, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Humanity was damned and cut off. And this void between man and God became wider and wider and wider and wider and could only be satisfied with a blood sacrifice. And that blood had to be untainted blood. And Jesus entered the world in order to pay the price for our sins. This is a big deal. And for us to be able to separate the blood of Jesus from the very act of Calvary and make it into some sort of bloodless crucifixion means we miss the power in the blood. Firstly, there is power to redeem. The word redeem means to buy back. We belong twice to God. Once he made us, secondly, he bought us back. We're the twice bought ones of God. And it says in 1 Peter, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, of the Lamb without blemish, without spot. Ephesians 1:7 declares that we have redemption. We have redemption. The prophet Isaiah, looking through the eyes of divinity, saw the human condition and explained, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. You know, that's why we can say, like Paul, the very things I don't want to do, I'm doing. What I want to do, I'm not doing. Who's ever had to say that? Anyone here had to say that? What I'm doing, I don't want to do, and what I don't want to do, I am doing. God hates sin. Proverbs 15 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God by blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We've been redeemed. The blood carries the power to justify, just as if we'd never sinned. To redeem and to justify, next to blood, number three, has the power to sanctify. That means to purify, to cleanse, to make holy, to consecrate, to dedicate to God. You know, when I became a Christian, God ruined sin for me forever. I could no longer, not to say I never sinned, but I couldn't fully get into it. Because what came with the experience of giving my life to Christ was Him taking it. Him listening to what I said and taking it from me. We have the power to give peace and reconcile. We have peace through the blood of Jesus. Events like happened in Christchurch yesterday have thrown the planet into convulsions, instability. People are uncertain. Colossians 1:20, one of my favourite verses, said, He made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. There's power. Power to bring us near to God. Power that breaks the power of sin to separate us from a holy God. But now in Jesus Christ, it says in Ephesians 2, you who were sometimes afar off are brought near. We're brought near. Revelations 12:11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome. See, the night of despair and darkness is over because the blood has been shed. The blood has been shed to make the vilest sinner clean. When I first became a Christian, I'm there and there wasn't many blokes becoming Christians. You could go into a church as a bloke and fire a shotgun and not hit another bloke, that's for sure. But all these women in the church were talking about the blood of Jesus. And I found the topic quite revolting. This nice old lady came up to me and said, you've got to cover yourself in the blood of Jesus. I thought, oh. Not only do I don't want to, I don't know how to. But over time, I walked in a revelation of the forgiveness. I think a lot of people never really go on with God because they don't have a sense of being forgiven. They don't have a sense of the slate being wiped clean. The Bible says He'll take our sins and He'll put them as far as the east is from the west. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as the driven snow. Every snow-capped peak, that's what our life's meant to be like. But do you not ever ask yourself why people don't really go on with it? Where they're prepared to go so far? The blood of Jesus has the power to change the life of gay people, of of lesbians, of transgender people. The blood of Jesus has the power to do that. God has the desire to do that. While ever the church undersells the blood of Jesus, it undersells the ability of God to heal those who are suffering. The blood of Jesus has the power to transform the thinking of a perverted mind, to deliver us from self-righteousness. The blood of Jesus is greater than the power of disease, is greater than the power of fear. The power is the power that is in the blood of Jesus. The songwriter declared it when he said, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." God orchestrated a plan to rescue humanity from sin and from the fall, the rebellion of humankind against God. When we said we'll be God ourselves. I never forget in my family, I had my grandfather, who was a master mason in the Masonic Lodge, and he was anti-Christian, but he loved my father. Now, if he was anti-Christian, he was really anti-Catholic. And my father was a Catholic, but he loved my father because my father got him off the alcohol. So he's in his bed. He's had a stroke. He's in his bed and my mother's quietly nursing him. She's praying for him. He sat up in bed, put his arms out and said, "Take me home, Jesus," and died. Well, we know where we went, don't we? Because Jesus came into the room and got him. My other uncle, his eldest son, got a virulent cancer behind his eye. They had to remove his eye and all of that. And he was laying in bed dying. My mother put her hand on him to pray and he said, "It's too late for that crap," and died. You see, without that revelation, without the applying of the power of the blood of Jesus in someone's life, they're not open to the revelation of God's love. They can be stubborn to the very end. We know the great hymn writer John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, resisted the gospel. He was in charge of a slave ship that was full of slaves chained up, and when the British gunboats accosted him, he threw them out all over sea, all over side to die. Drowned to death. But he was walking along a beach and he had a vision, he had a revelation from God, and out of that came the song called Amazing Grace, which is sung in every tongue by every tribe, and it ministers to the deep needs of people. Humanity is like a person trapped in quicksand. The harder she who tries to get in, the deeper they go. But I tell you what, all that can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. God had a plan, and his plan was to inject into the world his sinless son with sinless blood, to replace the corrupt blood that we were carrying around. So his incorruptible blood entered humankind. God sent his son to rescue you from the pit called sin. The danger with continuing to live with sin is that it will drag you down and ultimately cost you your eternal life. To admit that you need God, you need God's power to break that off your life. You need God's revelation to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross of Calvary in place of you, the blood sacrifice that you were due to pay. It says in Galatians, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, for it is written, cursed is he who hangs on the tree." The guilty, the innocent became guilty so that we would walk free. This is such a tremendous truth. And we can so much struggle with our daily life that we're fighting with this one and fighting with that one and arguing about our parking space and arguing about our rights and our resources, our reputation, arguing about these things where we are standing as people forgiven by the blood of Jesus, standing in his power. Let's stand together. I want to sing the blood song we sing. I declare over you that the blood of Jesus is more than enough. It's a propitiation for our sins. There's no sin too big, no life too far away, nothing that's beyond the power of the blood of Jesus. And I, with you, plead on behalf of all your unsaved relatives the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to break the shackles off their life in the name of Jesus. I pray for angelic visitations in the night, words of love spoken into their ear even as they sleep. We release miracles in their life in the name of Jesus. We pray for sighing, dying humanity, for the input that only the shed blood of Jesus can bring. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our Lord. He's Lord of all. He's the Lord of those who don't even make him Lord. We pray for you for breakthrough. I speak to your body now. I speak to kidney stones that they would dissolve now in the name of Jesus. That they would dissolve in Jesus' name. I speak to everything in your body that shouldn't be there, that it would dissolve and gone in Jesus' name. I pray that you would rise up and be healed. I pray for a fresh revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray for you. And we all come to God and acknowledge that we have ignored the power of the blood of Jesus and we put up with a lot of rubbish we shouldn't be putting up with. The blood of Jesus brings revelation. The blood of Jesus speaks of a greater thing, speaks of the integrity of the Word of God, that we can trust God, we can trust His Word. He who knew no sin became sin, that we would be righteous by adoption, that we are righteous because He has made us righteous.
We hope you were blessed by this message from the Father's House Christian Healing Center. To find out more about the Father's House, our upcoming events, and the resources we have available, head to thefathershouse.com.au.